catch you up. We're on our third installment of Divine Direction. And the idea is very similar to what Mark was saying, is that we as Christians are to be living our lives for Christ. That's our primary purpose of serving the Lord, is that we need to follow after Him. We need to be living our lives according to what Scripture tells us to do. And many times what happens in those situations is we find ourselves so preoccupied with, God, what is it that you want me to do? What's the one big thing? Why am I here? Why was I created? And sometimes we can be so focused on that, we can forget that God wants to use us right where we are, right where we're living, right who we're communicating with today, in our jobs or in our families, in our communities, that we are to be an example of what it means to have Jesus in our lives. That's the main purpose. And when it comes to finding that will of God, I know that I've fallen prey to it myself as well, is that early on in my life, I was like, there's this one thing, God has me here, God made me, and maybe you've heard messages like that. There's one purpose. And as soon as you say, there's this one thing, all of a sudden it's like, what is it? What is that one thing I'm supposed to, am I doing it now? Am I going to be doing it in the future? What I'm doing now, does that mean I've missed what I was going to do? And all of a sudden, there's all this pressure on us to say, what is that one thing that God wants me to do? And we forget that we have to be able to do this. And last week, what we did is we looked at this why before the what. And the idea behind this is, why do I want to see God doing something in my life? Why do I have this need to be relating to Him and working Him into my life? And we found out that through Scripture, there were examples of people who were focused more on the result of what they were doing instead of who they were doing it for. And that happened to King Saul. King Saul became very self-centered, very self-focused. An illustration that we didn't get to last week that was in my notes was Ananias and Sapphira. A lot of times when you mention those two, everybody gets a little nervous because they died because of their sin. But the reality was is that they weren't thinking of what they were doing for God. They were only thinking of themselves. And there's this place that we need to be able to get to in our relationship with the Lord, is stop focusing so much on what is the thing versus why. Why would I want to be living for the Lord? The answer should be simple, because I've received Him as my Lord and Savior. I want to live a life according to what He's done. And so this morning, I want to dive into this. The title for today, Divine Direction, is The Faith to Start. The Faith to Start. There are things that we come in, there are people and ideas and concepts that we come in contact with all the time that talk about, how do we get going on a new idea? Our culture is very centered on this, and I don't know if you've ever heard of like the TED Talks and the different motivational things that are out there, and everybody's got a new idea, and then as soon as somebody has a new idea, they've got a YouTube channel, they've got a blog, they've got a thing, and everybody's like, this is how you do it. Somebody accomplishes something, and all of a sudden, they're writing the 7 ways to do this and the 12 ways to get this thing done. And these are the 3 most important things that you can do. And our culture is very centered on that. It worked for me. It must work for everybody. So here's how you do it. And that's a tough place to be in, because I don't know about you, but have you ever seen one of those books, watched one of those videos, and the guy or the gal was like, this is the way you do it. This is how you get started. It worked for me. It can work for anyone. You got to do it this way. And so then what do? You faithfully get going on it. And then you're met maybe with some disappointment, maybe a failure. Maybe it didn't work out the way that you wanted it to. I want to focus less on the ultimate testimony and take things in the words of the movie, What About Bob? Baby steps. When we see what God is doing in people's lives, there's sometimes in Scripture when someone knows the end result of what's going to happen. That was kind of rare. And the end result that was going to happen for Abram was so far out there, he wasn't going to see it. But he knew what the end result was. The end result was that God was going to bless his offspring. But he had to start small and not be afraid of that small start. Now, I could have actually based this entire message this morning on the life of Abram, and I feel that a number of things that are in Abram's life are fairly well known to each of you, but you have to see this idea that Abram was saying, okay, God, you've called me to do this thing, but he became, in his zeal to see God's purpose come to pass, he became very myopic. How'd I do? He became very myopic. What he was doing is he was saying, well, God said this thing was going to happen, so now what I need to do is I need to do my part to make sure that it comes to pass. God said that he was going to have a son. Well, he knew that that was physically impossible for his wife. So what he did is he began to do things in such a way that we're saying, well, God surely ordained this thing to take place. And so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to step in here and do the obvious. You know, God wants me to have offspring. I can't. So I'm going to go to my wife's maidservant instead. Now that's, you know, that's, you don't do that. In his culture, there was still some acceptability to that, but we know when we read the promise that God was making, that wasn't at all how that was going to happen. He was actually specific about it, but Abram decided that he couldn't really mean that. Even Sarai was in the same boat. When she heard about it, she laughed, which I think that most ladies in their mid-80s would laugh if they thought they were going to have a child. But what can happen to us is we can lose sight of what God has given us. And we can say, I need to be able to have the faith to begin something. So let me toss some small things out to you before we get into the scripture here this morning. Very similar to what we just came from our tithing message. This is something that is very near and dear to my heart, because I came from a home that was very focused on giving and tithing, and that was a part of the family culture that I grew up in. But as soon as I left the home and it became my responsibility to tithe, I was like, man, that's a lot of money. I got rent. I got this thing going on. I've got these bills to pay. And God wants me to do what? And I was all by myself. I didn't even have a family at the time. I was just by myself. I was actually even living in an apartment. The first time that I received this challenge, I was living in an apartment that was in the church that I was working in. My dad, their church was in this old school building, and they had converted one of the classrooms into an apartment, and that's where I was living. My rent was like $75 a month, which even way back then was cheap. And I looked at it, and I said, man, that's really expensive. And so what I did is I didn't tithe at all. And some of you have heard this. I won't go into great detail because I've shared this testimony before. But I was traveling with a minister. He noticed that I didn't give. And it wasn't even in a church or a regular Sunday morning service where you would tithe. We were in a special service, and he was challenging people to give. And I was sitting right on the front row. I was his chauffeur. I was driving him around. And I just sat right there. And so we got in the car, and he did something that no one had ever done before. He looked at me, and he said, why didn't you put any money in the offering plate? And I'm like, ahamana. You talk about getting really uncomfortable. And from that challenge, I told him, I gave him my great reason. I said, I can't afford. He's like, wife, kids, what you got there? no. And he began to say, here's what you need to do. Start somewhere. And that's the place where we have to be able to get, is that when we get into a place of, God, I'm ready for you to use me, but I'm not exactly sure what that is, I would say that this has been something that has been kind of the mode of operation for me in my life, is I would say, okay, God, I know you want to use me in some way, and so I'm going to, prayerfully, but I am going to do something. Many times, I wouldn't even know if that is exactly what God had called me to do, but I knew that I wasn't going to be doing anything sitting on my couch. And so I would just, I don't know. God, I'm just, if this is an open door, I'm going to stick my foot in this door, and I'm going to see what happens. And I got that, I have to be honest with you, I got that from my dad. My dad did some strange stuff like that when I was a little kid. He was an accountant, like our dear friend Mark, and he was putting himself through college. And so every time we'd go to a new college town, he was a lifelong student, he was in college for a long time, and every time we'd go into a new town, he would look for a job. And one of the times when we moved to Tennessee, one of the things that he did is he knocked on this small business's door, and he said this. He said, if you hire me, this is after a longer conversation, but I'm getting to the good part. If you hire me, God will bless your business. The guy was like, well, that's an interesting interview. And the guy, and it was a mechanic. He was just running his business out of, I pictured it, because I didn't see it, I didn't know, but just like this little one stall thing with a gas pump, and he was running that whole thing. And by the time my dad left that place, he indeed was doing more business, having more customers, making more money than he had ever made before. But it wasn't because my dad knew that God said, go to that guy and say that. What it was is when you go and apply for a job, say this. My dad didn't know the where, he just knew what he was going to say and do. And my dad did that a lot. He did that a lot. He knew what God wanted him to do or to say, but he didn't know where that was going to pan out. And so my dad would say, okay, God's laid this on my heart, and boom, he would go with it. And that kind of transferred to me. And there's a number of times in my own life where I can say, I'm not exactly sure if this is what God wants me to do. I just know what God wants me to say when the opportunity comes. And I've had an opportunity to do that a couple of times my own self. And I believe that God is looking for a people that would be willing to say, you know what, is there a passion that you have? Is there a desire that you have to serve the Lord? Then don't just sit and wait for the heavens to open up and for God to go, and this is what I want you to do. Like, oh, okay. No, instead, what I have to do is I have to have the faith to even start something. I have to get started somewhere. And that is the same thing that happens when it comes to our jobs. I've even had a couple of conversations with some of the men in our church. It's like, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm just going to go ahead and take this step. I love that kind of stuff because it's prayerfully going into it. I'm not sure exactly what is going to be the result of this, but I just really know that God is saying, you know, go ahead and give this a try. And they do. And sometimes things change and sometimes things don't. But the result is I followed after God. I started somewhere. It can be that way with tithing. It can be that way with your job. Young people who are single, it can be that way with dating. Is that sometimes what happens is with dating, that gets all mixed up because it's like, well, I don't want to be single, so I'm just going to start dating whatever walks past in front of me. And that doesn't work out so well. Instead, you've heard this phrase maybe, if you want to meet the right person, you have to be the right person. So begin to say, God, who is it that I am going to be? What is the spouse that I'm going to be? Prepare me to be the husband or the wife that you designed me to be and you want me to be. One of the greatest compliments, Mark was saying, I mentioned my wife quite a bit, and I do. I'm just humbled that God was so gracious to bring Alexa into my life. But one time she said to me, she said, man, you were just made to be a husband. Wow. I mean, that wasn't even I love you. That was like, you were just me. I was like, wow. She said something similar to me when I was with our girls one time, is that, and I can only attribute that to God. I just want to be what you want me to be, and the results, our blessing will follow. Do you see what I'm talking about? We're going to get into this in a minute through scripture, but I wanted to lay this down, this foundation for you, is that we don't want to get so caught up in the end result of what does God want me to do. Instead, I would rather just be going along and my steps be ordered by the Lord. Every single step ordered by Him. And I've found that God does those things. When in 2003, the church was in a place of struggling, and we were looking at things that we needed to do differently. And it came down to basically, all right, Phil, we love you, everything, you know, nobody's upset with you or anything like that, but you need to find another job. It's like, okay. And we didn't know what to do. Well, you know, find another job. I was just talking with somebody this weekend about, you know, in Titusville, there's jobs out there, but when you're talking about supporting a family, you're either going to work many, many hours or you're going to work many, many jobs. There's no, like, in between. And the Lord opened up blindly. I had never even heard of the company that I ended up working for. And the Lord provided, because the door opened up and I said, well, I don't know. We were thinking, well, maybe this is the time for us to move on. Maybe God is saying you've been here and you're not taking any hints. And so I'm cutting your salary, I'm cutting your thing, and off you go, okay? You know, and some people do that. They're like, well, God must not want me here anymore because He killed my job. You know, and so instead what we did is prayerfully we said, God, if this is where you want us to be, the door will open up. And it did. I found a great job. I was able to do both. They worked around my schedule. I loved being there. I still run into people that I worked with. I have a great relationship with them because it was taking that simple step. For too many people, it's the start that stops them. They get overwhelmed with the responsibility of, I just can't wrap my brain around getting started. And that's what stops us many times, is it's not, you know, every once in a while, you know, people know the Christian terms, well, I had a red flag, or I was reading a scripture, and this thing, and I'm not saying God doesn't work that way, but every once in a while, I run across somebody where it's like, okay, this is the 17th time we've had this conversation. God is not closing every single door. How about this? Why don't you take a step of faith? Why don't you just take a step of faith? You know that God wants to bless you. You know that God is a part of this thing. Just take a step of faith and prayerfully consider those things. One of the biggest things is getting out of debt. I love that he mentioned that, because, and that's been working that way the last couple of weeks. The person that's up here sharing for the tithe time is hitting on a number of things. But debt was one of the things. Debt can be overwhelming. I mean, it can be crippling what debt can do. And I really believe that there was a point in a time in our lives, early on in our marriage, where one of the things that we realized is we cannot be in debt. It's not fun at all to have all this stuff going on. And then it begins to look like, okay, now I'm in this situation, and I'm in this situation, and I've had conversations like this too. It's like, what is God trying to show me? My honest opinion, I don't think God's trying to show you anything. You should probably just get out of debt. You know, I mean, that's what's happening. Is sometimes we just have to take that step. And I believe that there is a place that we can get to where that can be so crippling. Is that when we do the Dave Ramsey stuff, one of the things, you know, that you put all the bills in the middle of the table, and that's like, whoa. But then you begin to see one go, and this one go, and this one disappear. And it has been so relieving. I don't even know how many years it's been, but to know that we can go and we're looking at, you know, major appliances, or we're looking at different things, and we're able to put cash out there and say, we're going to pay cash for this thing. And man, that's so, and it also makes shopping a lot easier. Because you don't walk into a store and go, wow, we'll take the $3,200 one. No, we're like, you know, here's what we got. And this is what we have to work with. And if you, the taking that first step can be that way. Listen to what happened here. God told the Israelites to obey and be blessed. But what happened is they ended up turning to false gods and worshiping false gods. And that first step, it was immediate that they didn't take the first step. They came across the Red Sea and stepped into sin within a week. That's amazing. And we would look at that in our culture right now or in our situation right now and go, why on earth would that happen? Why could they be so blind? But how many times in our own lives have we hindered what God wanted to do for us? Now, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be opening up to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. And this is where we're going to spend some time. As we conclude this series this week, I really believe that there's a place that we need to be able to get to in this starting point that God is looking for us to have. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 19 and 20. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite, servant and Geshem, the Ammonite servant, and Geshem, the Arab, heard of it, they jeered at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king, lowercase k? Now, if you don't know the story of Nehemiah, he gets a vision in his prayer time. And that ties into last week. Nehemiah was in captivity. Captivity isn't any fun, last time I checked. He's in captivity. And he's still going before the Lord, praying and putting his life out there before God. And in that time, he receives a message and a word and a challenge from God to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild. Then what happens is these people begin to hear of this stuff, and they rise up against them. Look at the language that's used here. What is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Because remember, he's in captivity, like I told you. And so he has to get a special circumstance in order to be able to do anything. So let's talk about a couple of things that Nehemiah did to get to this point. The first thing that Nehemiah had to do is he had to take a step of faith. The step of faith that Nehemiah had to make is that he had to go before the king. Now, he's a cupbearer. He's in the presence of the king. But in that culture and in that place, you didn't just go, you know, here's your drink, mighty king. And, oh, by the way, did you watch the game last night? I mean, you don't break into small talk with the king. And so he had to be ready and in a place. There's another example of this in the book of Esther. Esther was the same thing. Esther was a chosen wife of the king, someone that he actually was brought in, and she was beautiful and all this kind of stuff. But she wasn't able to just walk up and start talking to him. It had to all be planned out. Same thing with Nehemiah. Knowing that he was going to have to go before the king, the first thing that he had to do is take a step of faith. I don't know how this is going to work out. I just know what God wants me to do. Do you see that? I don't know what the result of it. It's kind of nervous. I would be apprehensive, I think. So the first thing that he does is he has to start small. And in starting small, we have to be willing to say, I am not going to get caught up in the insignificance of what this might look like. Can I share a church example with you? Our live nativity, it's coming up. This is actually kind of even a little plug for it. Live nativity is coming up. It's a huge event that we do here at Grace Fellowship Church. And now we can, without any kind of padding of numbers, I can literally tell you thousands with an S of people come through every year. Thousands with an S. But that wasn't our first experience with it. Our first experience was we threw up a couple of things, and we were blown away with the hundreds that came the first time. The first time, we were like, if 100 people came through, we weren't even thinking of numbers. We didn't care. We're just doing it. This is an opportunity. I don't even think we even had a discussion of the number. And we weren't, I do remember this, we weren't ready for the numbers that first year. We were blown away. But we had, if you saw that first time with the stable and a couple of stores and some actors walking around, and see what it is now. I mean, we have this huge city gate. We have a 15-foot angel. We have a Star of Bethlehem. We have an inn that probably looks better than the inn that the Holy Family was rejected from. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. We have all this stuff going on, and thousands of people come through. Do you know that nobody that's on that team, nobody, got a word from the Lord that said, if you do this live nativity, thousands of people will come through and be blessed? If they did get that word, they didn't share it with us. Nobody did. And can I take a little step further? It wasn't even a God said to do. There was one ministry that was doing it. They weren't going to be doing it anymore. And it was, hey, what do you think about this? Like, how hard can that be? Oh. Next thing you know, we're doing this thing. And year after year after year, now I've already got people talking to me in different business, different places that I go. I was in the summer theater thing, and a couple of people came right up to me and said, hey, you guys doing that live nativity again? I remember waiting in line for 2 hours. I'm like, I'm so sorry. And they said, we don't anymore. Last time we only waited for about 45 minutes. I was like, 45 minutes? But you see, God honored that small step. Now it's something, if we didn't do it, this town would miss that live nativity. Just so you know, I'll put this out there. They've asked every single year, are you going to do it 2 weekends? And every single year I've stuck up for you and said no. Just know that. And one of them was kind of young and they didn't realize what they were saying, but they were like, you already did it 1 week. What's the problem with doing it another week? See? Because you just started shaving, I will ignore that statement. But starting small, there's nothing wrong with that. And taking those first steps. And so then what happens is that we have to be willing to do that, because in starting small, we have to take that next step. We have to be willing to do it. If we're in a position where we can say, what I need to do is get going. That's all I need to do is get going. And that's happened for me, physically. I was a pretty big fella at one point in my life. And the hardest thing to do with a lifestyle change is to change your lifestyle. That's the hardest thing to do. I hate dieting. I am not a dieter. I don't diet. And just so you know, I haven't dieted. I have literally changed my lifestyle. And if I can, last week I ran my first 5K without stopping. I was gonna ask Scott if he could be on the side and like throw some water on my face or something, make me feel like I was doing something. But there was a time when I started running about a year and a half ago or so. It scared me because I was kind of big, and I thought, well, the way that I can lose weight is I can run every morning. And I came back and I was feeling fine. The next day, my shin was as black and blue and as round like this. And I was like, am I so fat that I broke my own leg from running? We didn't know what had happened. I'm like, my goodness, I need to cut back on the ho-hos. I'm going to break my own leg. We still don't know what happened. It eventually healed itself, but it was black and blue and tender to the touch. I was like, Alexa, I think I broke my leg. But the thing is that we have to be willing to start somewhere. So what I did is I said, you know what? I don't want to be in the tens that I'm in right now. You know what my first goal was? I'm going to go from this tens to this tens. So I did that. And I made it. The nice thing was that I only had to lose like 4 pounds to do that. That was an easy goal, you know? I mean, it was like, okay, I'm here. I just need to be here. This one's a 2. I need to get down to the 8. Here we go. But you start small. And you get excited about that, because what I used to do Because just so you know, I always knew I was big. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, I wonder what's wrong with me. No, I always knew I was big. But and I was always trying to think of ways that I could change what was going on with me. And so what I would do is I'd say, you know what? This summer, I'm going to lose 35 pounds. And after a week of that and gaining 10 pounds, like, that's not such a good idea. I'm going to change my objective here. I'm going to try not to gain any weight or lose any weight. That was the initial one. Let's just try to stay the same for a little while. But you have to be willing to start somewhere. And I have to say, it's been fun. It's actually become fun. After a while, you don't even think of it anymore, and it's just become an enjoyment thing. I was sharing some things with Alex, and I was like, man, you should write a book. I'm like, well, then everybody will think this is the way you have to do it. And he's like, well, everybody should do it that way. It's exciting to see what God can do when we're willing to start small and not be intimidated by that, because even in starting small, it is, that's not even in the notes. Are you ready? It is still a result. It's still an outcome. We set a small goal. We set a small thing out in front of us. And so Nehemiah, immediately here, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19, he's met with this. What is wrong with you? Why are you stepping out this way? And in reality, it's actually going to appear like you are rebelling against the king. Then, Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 20, then I replied to them, the Lord of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. That is the confession of faith that Nehemiah had over this daunting task. There was no section of the wall where one stone was left on top of another. It was completely destroyed. And he said, what we're going to do is we're going to start. We're going to start. We're going to build. And there's going to be opposition. As a matter of fact, even some of the people that were a part of it were nervous at first. But Nehemiah had such a strong conviction. He even convinced them at one point, okay, the opposition is going to come along. They're going to see that we're rebuilding this city. And what's going to happen is you're going to need to be working here and have your sword ready over here. And we're going to be building and working and defending all at the same time. Sometimes when we take a step of faith, it requires us to really say, God, all that I'm really doing is I'm not looking at the end result. I'm looking at this moment, and I want to be blessed by what you are doing. I want to be able to say, I am in that will. Well, what is it that God has called you to do? Guess what I'm doing right now? Guess how I'm functioning right now? Well, what's the ultimate thing? What's the one thing that God has called you to do? I'm serving him and I'm following him, and I am so blessed to be a part of his plan. When I was hired as a youth pastor, that was my heart, was just to serve. When the pastor asked me to lead worship, I was so scared. I was not a worship leader, singer person. That wasn't my thing. And God just opened this up. And as a matter of fact, God had given me a heads up about 3 or 4 years previous to that, when people were praying over me, actually she's been here, Sylvia Evans, prayed over me and said, I just see you worshiping and leading worship. And I was like, what on earth are you talking about? But you see, the goal is to take small steps. I didn't take that word of being a worship leader and go, okay, what church is here? Let's see, what churches here need a worship leader? Because God has called me to be a worship leader. Okay, no. Ooh, this one has really nice weather in January. Maybe they need a work, right? And that's what can happen is when we hear it, we're like, oh, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. Let's go. Instead, what I still did, even with the knowledge of that, is I said, God, I'm just going to take the steps that you want me to take, and I'm going to be who you want me to be, and I'm going to function in this thing serving you. Knowing that somehow down the line, something like that was going to open up. And I got so wrapped up in following God that I actually forgot that word had come on me. My wife reminded me of it a couple of years into it. This, remember when Sylvia said da 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 da? Oh man, yeah, I do. Serving him and following after him. Look at St. Francis of Assisi says this. Assisi. Gee whiz. Were you raised in a barn? Start by doing what is necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible. Isn't that cool? Start doing what's necessary. There's some things that I think, practically speaking, in the world today that just need to be done. I don't know if I'm called to do that. Really? What are you doing right now? Waiting for what God's going to call me to do. Okay, I can help you. Here's a broom. You know, get going. Do something. Right? Start taking some steps of faith. Because here's one thing that I do know. As much as God has called me, he can't use me until I get up and start moving. If I sat there with, you know, I had this word, I had this thing, somebody told me that, and I was just sitting in my easy chair waiting for those things to come to pass, I would still be sitting there. Instead, I just began to say, God, I don't know what the end result is. Galatians, Paul writes it this way. He says, and let none of us grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And that's the part that really is difficult, is, oh, you know, I've been doing this, and man, I just don't know, and God is saying, don't grow weary in doing good things. Don't allow this thing to slip in. You know, some companies have gotten on the right path with this, and one of them had it in the 80s. They came up with the slogan, just do it. Remember that? The Nike swoosh people. That was their thing, just do it. Spiritually speaking, I wonder if we could say, you know what needs to happen is I just need to get excited that Jesus saved me, that I know that he's going to provide. I might not know what the end result is going to be, but I want to begin to serve him in such a way that I know that I'm in the right place. I know that I am in a position that God can begin to use me. I didn't get permission from the Lederbers to share this with you, but they're not here this morning with us, so I can say what I want to. But one of the things that Dan came to me with about a year and a half ago is he said, I know God is doing something. He said, I have no idea what God is doing. He said, we sold our house. And the next day I found out that somebody up in Corey had a house that we could just move right into. So he said, that's what we're doing. We're selling our house. I said, well, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Like, I don't know. Well, where do you work right now? I work at Hydetown. And you live in Corey? Yeah. You going to still come to church here? Yep. We're going to come down from Corey every week. Wow. Okay. So what do you think God is doing? I don't know. Something. I'm not kidding you. That's exactly the conversation that we had. And then he began to talk. He said, man, God is calling me into some kind of place of leadership. Not really sure what that is. Shot a job application down to Tennessee. They actually wanted him, but they didn't want him enough. And then the Lord began to do some really neat stuff. And things opened up for him about an hour southwest of here. And I was helping him move, and a few of us from the church were there. And I was talking with him, and I asked him, I said, do you remember talking to me about God was going to do something? Where he's like, yeah. Isn't that funny? He could have just told me. He could have just said what he was going to do. But instead, I just took the route of, I don't know. I just know that it's not here. I'm going to sell my house. As long as I'm in my house, I'm going to think, oh, I can do this and I can do that. And he said it was security for them. But he changed things up. Told his wife he was selling the house, by the way. They didn't just sell the house. But that's the thing, is just being able to say, I am going to step out in faith. I'm going to take that first step. Nehemiah, in his situation, he was simply a servant of the king. He had a passion and a call from the Lord, and he didn't walk up to that king and begin to lay out for him everything that he had to do. He went in the understanding of being submitted to that king and saying, there is need in my homeland, and I want to be the vessel that is used to meet that need. Will you bless me on this journey? He asked permission. He didn't go up and say, and God said, and I've asked him to strike you dead if you don't listen. He said, this is what I want to do. And the conclusion of that story, you've got to read the book of Nehemiah. It's incredible. But the conclusion was, is they built that wall in 52 days. 52 days. A whole bunch of wall illustrations in our modern culture just came up to me that I'll avoid this morning. But they built a wall in 52 days that brought security to the remnant that was there in Jerusalem. Once you do what you set out to do, you will realize that you are just getting started. That was an amazing thing in my own life, is that once I took those first couple of steps, I realized that that initial goal wasn't even the end result. That initial goal was just to get me started. And God is looking for a people that will say, you know what? My neighbors around me need to know Jesus Christ. The people that I come in contact need to know Jesus Christ. That is a fact. So I want to begin to take the steps of seeing that fact work its way through. My husband, my wife, my children, whatever result you come to is that you would say, I know that there is a need that is there, and what I want to do is I simply want to step out as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ and take that first step of faith. That's what brings encouragement to us in the Lord. The idea was is that the wall was to be built, but that was only the beginning. They actually began rebuilding all of Jerusalem. Building the wall wasn't the, there, we're done. Whew. No, what happened from there is they ended up going through with this entire project. Start small. Be faithful. Get up when most would stay down. Do something when you feel nothing. Do not grow weary. These are all biblical truths to how we as followers of Jesus Christ can be an example of what it means. This is not a pep talk. I'm telling you that if you simply follow the convictions of your heart, God will lead you to do godly things. Because it's obvious that God is looking for a people that will just say, I don't know, and as a matter of fact, I could almost toss in there, I don't care what the end result is, I want to follow God and His conviction that He has on my life. And I don't know what the Lord has as the end result for me being the pastor of Grace Fellowship Church. And to be honest with you, I don't have an end goal in mind. I just love every single step and every single new page that turns and every single new story that happens. I love being a part of it. I love what I do. I love where I am. I love the things that are going on. Not because I'm like, yeah, well, we were going to remodel this facility and we're going to do that there. We're all done. We are nowhere. You should have been in our last board meeting. We were talking about some amazing stuff. I'm like, when you really put it all together, I might not even be alive long enough to see some of the stuff they were talking about. Isn't that awesome? To have that kind of a vision and that kind of a place to be able to see that God is doing something in a people's life that is going to say, I want to just be in the flow with what God is doing. That's it. That's it. What's your agenda? My agenda is to be a godly man. That's my agenda. And then all the other stuff that happens is a result of us listening and following to what God has called us to do. It's an incredible journey. It's an incredible place to be. I'd like to end with this statement here, if you could stand to your feet with me while I read this to you. The smallest step in the right direction might have been the biggest step in your whole life. The smallest step in the right direction might have been the biggest step in your whole life. Something that is extremely intimidating at any point in our journey in walking with the Lord is saying, God, I don't know that I have been honoring you with everything that I have. And I think that from worship all the way through to now, I think that you can see there's this underlying theme that the Lord just went ahead and took on its own course. With communion, being that it's not about us, it's about Jesus, the sacrifice that he made, the challenge that came from our time and giving, and seeing that there is a purpose behind it, there is a reward behind it. There is this opportunity to be able to say, God, I don't know where to start. How about this? Would you be willing to start somewhere? And maybe in your spiritual journey right now, you're saying, God, I don't even know if I have this relationship thing with you down at all, because I don't hear this. I don't feel this. I want to be able to know that, God, I'm at least walking a path and not just wandering around aimlessly. So this morning, again, this is not my own version of a TED talk. What this is this is me saying, Christians need to live like Christians. That's what we have to do. And we should be identifiable as such. Somebody should be able to look at our lives under that microscope and say, I found one. I found a follower of Jesus Christ. Not because of this huge ministry thing that you have going on the side, but because the examination was made in your life and you were found to be faithful to the Lord. Maybe this morning you don't know where you stand with that. We don't want you to leave this morning without an opportunity to say, God, I got to get my life right with you right here, right now, in this moment. I need to get my life right with you. It would be wrong for me to give you all of this information and then say, boy, I hope you can get this all worked out. Instead, what I want to do is I want to say, man, do you see it? Do you see how much God just wants to use us as we get up in the morning, go to our jobs, live with our families, as we are examples within our community? God is looking for a people that will just be a reflection of him. And then he uses us on top of that, and it's incredible. Ask you if you'd bow your heads with me, and we're just going to begin to pray. Father, I know that there are some here in this room that whether they've been walking with you for a while or maybe they don't even know if they have a relationship with you, there are some that are challenged with this message this morning, not because of anything I have done, but the way that you are speaking to their hearts this morning. And so, God, I am going to open up an invitation for them to say, I am either in a place where I need to get my life right with you, or I need to give my life to you, or I gave my life to you a season ago and I haven't been functioning the way that I should. Father, I know that you are prodding at the hearts of many this morning. And I just ask that you cover us as we walk through these next few moments. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not comfortable closing your eyes, just stare at the chair in front of you. God is speaking to you specifically this morning about what it means to be an example of following Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a culture where it's so easy to say, oh, I'm a Christian, but then our lives don't line up with those very words. And Nehemiah was in a situation where he's like, I'm an Israelite. I'm a follower of God. And everything that stands for, everything that my culture stands for, everything that my beliefs stand for are in ruin right now. And God, I just simply want to know, can I be a part of that solution? He gets that word that comes to him. Someone comes back and says, oh, if you could just see the walls, it's in devastation. And Nehemiah says, man, that's what I want to do. I want to be a part of the solution. This morning, if you're saying, I just simply want to be able to have a life that's focused on him and following after him. If that's you this morning, right now where you're standing, just slip your hand up and say, Phil, that's me. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going up. Thank you for that. Keep them up nice and high. Thank you. You're not alone. There's many. Thank you for that. God is touching you and speaking to you right now. Thank you. Okay, you can put your hands down. Every eye open and every head up. We need to be able to say, God, in this moment, we just simply want to be a reflection of you. And in that moment, you will see God just say, you know what? Take that initial step of faith. And I am not about to tell you, here's the three ways that you can do it. All I can do is tell you that submission worked in my life. That was the biggest thing I had to do. I had to submit. And I wasn't the submitting type. My own plan, my own ideas, my own agenda. And after years of running on the Christian hamster wheel, of not knowing what God was going to be doing, I finally said, I don't even know. All I want to know is that I'm in your will. Can we just start there? So let's, those of you that have raised your hand, I want to lay this challenge out for you, that it needs to start today. Something in your routine, something in your life, it needs to change and start anew right now. And I'm blessed that I'm not talking to just two or three people. I'm talking to about 20, 22 people. That it is a place where we need to say, yes, that's exactly what I need to do. Something needs to change. What needs to change? Take that first step. Can it be something as simple as starting off your day with a few minutes with the Lord? Because that's a start. Well, 3 minutes is insignificant. I'm going to set a challenge. I'm going to pray with the Lord 45 minutes every morning. Good luck with that. Why don't you start with, I want to have some time with the Lord. And I bet you in your near future, losing time and losing, and oh my goodness, wait, time got away from me this morning, Lord. I have to go. Unless you're going to keep my job for me, I have to go. Time will get away from you. That part comes. But starting somewhere. If you're struggling in a relationship, change what you're doing now. Do something different. Change it up and say, there is a change that needs to come. And say, God, I simply want to be a part of your will and your solution in a relationship in my life. And if you are willing to be used by him, he will use you. I'm going to pray with you a prayer of faith. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads. Father, I come before you and my friends that are here this morning. We together, we join our hearts and we say, God, we need a fresh reboot in you. We need a fresh start. And there are some things in my life that need to change right now. And so, Father, I pray that that small task, that new thing that's going to be inserted, I'm going to take a small step and change one thing right now. Whether that's getting up and having a few moments of devotion, whether that means you're going to be praying for your neighbor, whether if you have devotions already, what is your devotion time like? What are you focusing on? If you're going to focus less on yourself and more on others, if you're constantly not on time for work and you're wondering why you're not being blessed, I'm going to be on time. I'm going to be punctual. Why? Because I'm a follower of Christ. And, you know, and Christians need to do things in excellence. Or if I'm a volunteer somewhere, if I'm doing something, I am going to take a step to make a change that is going to be a reflection not of me, but of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And Father, this morning, I pray that there would be an immediate result in every small step that happens this morning. An immediate result in every small step. We thank you and praise you for all that you're doing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen.